Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the voice of a man who startled the world. A man whose message has flashed around the globe, has found its way into every civilized country under the sun. Yet this message was not preceded by any great fanfare, any blare of trumpets, nor sponsored by any worldwide organization. On the contrary, it came out of a rather obscure little town in northern Idaho, the town of Moscow. Why then has it produced such a tremendous effect upon thinking people? Why has it made thousands upon thousands of converts? Why is it that there is scarcely an auditorium large enough to hold the crowd which assembles when this man speaks? I'll tell you. Because that message contains the truth. Because that man does not ask anyone to accept his teachings on faith. He simply says, try them, test them, see for yourself whether or not they work in your own life. And thousands of people have found out that they do work. The message to which I refer is called Psychiana, and its originator, the man who gave it to the world, is Dr. Frank Robinson. Let's visit him in his study. Here is our guide ready to show us the way.
As we approach Dr. Robinson's house at this hour of the day, we usually hear the strains of music. But now the magnificent pipe organ in Dr. Robinson's study is silent. Through the window, we see that Dr. Robinson is not seated at the console, but in a chair, his gaze resting on a letter which he holds in his hand. We are a trifle apprehensive as we knock at his door.
Yes? Come in.
How do you do, Dr. Robinson?
Oh, hello. Come in. I've been waiting for you.
Well, I didn't hear any music. I thought for a moment something had happened.
No, I was just reading a letter. Won't you sit down?
I hope you haven't given up the practice of opening our little talk with some music. You know, you've spoiled me. I've come to expect it.
Well, you certainly shall have it. Just a moment till I switch on the organ. Now then, what would you like to hear?
Do you play Castle of Dreams?
I surely do. In fact, it's one of my favorites.
Beautiful, Doctor. I wish you'd keep right on playing.
Well, maybe we'll have another selection after a while.
You're not tired, are you?
Well, not too tired, although this has been an exceedingly busy week. The mail has been very, very heavy, and several important business deals have come up. And in addition to that, I've finished my last book, which I sent to our presses yesterday.
How many books is that you've written, Doctor?
That makes 7, and I'm working on another one now.
Well, what's the title of your last book?
Well, its title is The Number of the Beast.
The Number of the Beast. Well, that certainly is a strange title.
Well, this is a very strange book, but I will give you a copy of it as soon as Mr. Marino has the first edition printed. You know, this is a very interesting and happy work I'm doing, but every once in a while I receive a letter that I don't like. These letters come from people who utterly misunderstand me. Usually, they're people who are not able to think very much, and instead of using their brains, they have just accepted the orthodox religious story, hook, line, and sinker.
Are there many like that left, Doctor?
Well, there are quite a few, and usually I don't pay any attention to the letters I receive from these people, because, for the most part, they are only religious fanatics, and religious fanaticism has been the cause of a lot of trouble in this world. This letter here, though, is one of the types which seems to stop me dead in my tracks every once in a while. And when I receive a letter like this, I respect the seriousness of the message I'm preaching. This letter states that while I cannot do any harm to grown-up people, yet I might hurt the faith of a child.
Well, Dr. Robinson, knowing you as I do not believe you would knowingly hurt a fly, let alone children.
You saw those two beautiful children playing in the living room there.
I certainly did, and they are marvelous children, too.
And you can depend upon it that I would not write or say a thing that could hurt one of those beautiful kiddies. And if I would not hurt my own children, you may be sure I wouldn't hurt anyone else's.
I can readily believe that, Dr. Robinson.
I wish it were possible to give the world this illuminating message without hurting anyone's religious feelings. But manifestly, that is not possible. For religious superstition is a terrible thing. However, all I am doing is submitting the evidence of the truth as I see it and letting thinking, reasoning Americans form their own conclusions.
And that's more than most religious systems do. They ask you to accept on faith. If you don't, they tell you you're damned.
Yes, I know. And while it is necessary, of course, that I expose the falsity of many so-called fundamentals of the religious systems prevailing in our land today, yet these criticisms of mine are neither irreverent nor unjust.
It seems to me, Doctor, that in exposing the fallacy of what has been handed down to us as supernaturally revealed religion and giving people the truth, you are really doing them a great service.
That is what I'd like everyone to feel. And more, I'd like them to know that I would gladly pay the most profound respect and reverence to those who, in the interest of immortal truth, sacrificed their lives. Listen to me. Jesus of Nazareth, the pathetic story of whose humble life and tragic death has awakened the sympathy of millions, was a man and probably existed. But the Jesus of the Bible, the Christ of Christianity, is an impossible character and does not exist and never did exist. He was born without a natural father. His ministry is supposed to have been a succession of miracles. He walked for miles upon the waters of the sea. He commanded a raging tempest to cease, and it obeyed him. He withered a barren fig tree for not bringing forth fruit out of season. He cast out devils and cured incurables. He restored life to a widow's only son and called back from the tomb the decaying corpse of Lazarus. At his crucifixion, nature was convulsed, and after his death, he arose from the dead and ascended bodily into heaven. These and hundreds of other miracles make up to a great extent this so-called gospel history of Christ, and to disprove the existence of these miracles is to disprove the existence of Christ as a God.
You mean that if these miracles are not true, Christianity is not true?
That's precisely what I mean. If Christ wrought no miracles, then the Gospels are untruthful.
And you believe that these miracles are not true.
Well, what do you believe? What can thinking people anywhere believe? God's immutable laws are written upon every page of nature, and at no time, through no man, not even through himself, has God ever violated these immutable laws. If a single law of God was suspended for one instance, this single suspension would prove the mutability of every law in the whole category of God. And instead of him being a divine creation, he would be a very fallible experimenter. Never did the great creative intellect behind this universe suspend for one moment his own natural laws, and every story teaching that he did is a self-evident false story.
Yes, I see your point.
That God should break his own laws is absurd on the face of it. And another thing, if Jesus Christ were God, to the exclusion of the rest of us, then he needed no miracles to herald his birth and prove his Godhead. The words of immutable truth, which must have fallen from the lips of God, would in themselves have seared the souls of every listener with their inviolate truth. And to attempt to prove the divinity of Jesus Christ by miracles is to prostitute, not only God himself, but everyone who listens to the story.
Your logic cannot be overthrown there, Doctor. I follow you very closely and understand you.
All right. Now, if this crucifixion story, this virgin birth story, this immaculate conception story, and this resurrection story had never been told before, then there might be some grounds for believing it. But when the world prior to the time of this presumed God Jesus had known at least a score of other crucified saviors, who has a right to say that the most recent of these stories is true while the rest are false?
No reasoning man could deny that, Dr. Robinson.
Of course he could not. And I think that I can say that the vast majority of thinking Americans, whether they belong to a church or not, do not believe this story. You will find people who have been church members for 40 or 50 years wondering these days whether their faith is securely grounded or not.
Yes, you know, none of us feel that we know God. Yet all of us feel that if we did know God, all of life's problems would be answered.
Ah, that is just the point. When a human being believes in and knows the existence of God as he really is, far removed from this Bible story, then the light begins to break. I would like to tell you an actual incident of this, but I'm afraid we haven't time for it now.
Yes, this quarter hour has slipped along, hasn't it? But there's one thing we do have time for, and that's the organ selection you promised to play. Remember?
Yes, I remember. I did promise to play another number. Well, this time I'm going to choose the number myself. Evening Star.
Doesn't the crystal clear logic, the sound, common sense of Dr. Robinson's message appeal to you? Wouldn't you like to have a complete outline of Sakiana? You can without its costing you 1 cent. Simply write to him and say, please send me, without cost or obligation on my part, a complete outline of Sakiana. Address your letter or postcard to Dr. Frank Robinson, care of the station to which you are listening, or to Dr. Frank Robinson, Moscow, Idaho. If you send your letter to Moscow, Idaho, be sure to include in the address the words Radio Department. We return you now to your local announcers.